Welcome to the City Beautiful Church podcast. Thank you for taking the time to join our family as we strive to live together in heavenly reality. For more great content, visit us online at citybeautiful.ch.
Welcome, everyone, and good morning. It's so good to see you. So good to see extended family and friends. And if some of you are just randomly visiting today, you're probably wondering why there are so many babies floating around. We're in a bit of a baby boom in our church. We've had our first round of them, and we've got several more on the way. A lot of girls, so that's very interesting, exciting. I'm sure it'll balance out, because poor Bennett, his like little micro-generation will be, he'll be the only guy. Maybe he'll be really lucky, I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it. So if you don't know me, my name is Ryan. I'm pastor here at City Beautiful Church, and today is a really, really exciting day. We are doing dedication, and we're doing baptisms. We've been in this series called In the Name of Jesus. So our yearly vision overall, what we felt like the Lord spoke to us about this time last year for 2023, was that we're called to be strong and take heart. And so often what happens when the Lord speaks, we have kind of a direction, but maybe it doesn't have the clarity that we would desire sometimes to know exactly what something's going to look like. But rather, we're kind of discovering as we follow the Spirit of God kind of through the proverbial wilderness, what exactly it is that God desires for us to learn. And so this kind of final series that we're in for this year, we're exploring what it means to live in the name of Jesus. Not just in our personal conduct to one another, as we demonstrate the love of God to each other, as we're shoring up in each other our identities in Christ, but also kind of when we pivot out towards the world, what is our posture towards the world, and how we live day by day in the ways that we speak, in the ways that we act, reflect something of the love of God into the world, so that the world can be reconciled back to God. And I think that these sacraments that we're participating in today kind of speak to that so beautifully. And so this is kind of where we're going to be heading today. That living in the name of Jesus begins with commitment to him and his new heavenly family called the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we testify the truth that you're here, that you are with us. You are Emmanuel. You are for us. You are not against us. Lord, we thank you that it is by your grace that you guide us just step by step, day by day, in this journey of faith, that perhaps we don't know where we're going, but we trust in you to get us there, because you are the God that moves through history with us. You turn curses into blessings. You convert death into life. You convert slavery to freedom. And Lord, I pray as today, as we center on these wonderful candidates for dedication and baptism, that each of us would be reminded of the times when we have said yes to you and what that commitment truly means. So may the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we talk about this often, that we are saved. What does it mean to be saved? Is it a one and done process? Is it an ongoing process over our life, depending on how you grew up in a denomination or an interpretation? Maybe you had different ways of speaking of that. But I think there's one really important thing to understand about salvation. It's that we have been saved from something. As we're going to be seeing in the promises that these baptismal candidates are going to be making, we kind of talk about like the unholy trinity, the flesh, the enemy, and the world. We've been saved from a world. We've been saved from a life. We've been saved from the influence of the evil one. But a lot of times it kind of stops there. And it kind of goes like this, you know, pray the Jesus prayer when you're 8 years old. Now you're saved, so just kind of twiddle your thumbs for the next 60 to 80 years until you get to go to this place called heaven. But I think in reality, we are saved from something, but we're also saved into something. We're saved towards something, and it's a new way of living. And a lot of what we understand that new way of living to be is that we've been saved into God's covenant family. that we see the family that God crafted out of Abram when he says, I'm going to bless you with a family, and through your family I'm going to bless all other nations, is that God is creating a new heavenly family that transcends any of the normal dividing lines of hostility that we have as human beings, where we divide by nationality or ethnicity or, you know, whatever these lines that we like to create as human beings to determine who's in and who's out. God is destroying those lines through Christ Jesus and creating one new family, a family that transcends all of that bickering and infighting, to say, this is what it looks like when humanity is reunited in the name of Jesus to demonstrate God's love. This is what it looks like for us to live under the rule of a good king. And so from the time of Abraham on, we see this story in the people of Israel living as this holy and chosen people, that they are learning how to live in God's way. They're being rehabilitated through God's project called the Torah, but they're also learning how to be that priesthood, to be that reflection of God into the world around them. And so early on, God has them kind of adopt these two major sacraments that become markers for them to understand the life to which they've been called to live. First is circumcision. So little boys would be circumcised on the eighth day to be marked aside. And the important thing to know is that early mark, it's not about their own intellectual assent. Nobody came to this child and said, hey, would you like to go through this? Or, you know, did you do the 12-week program so that we know that you actually know what you're talking about when you say yes? It was a gift that they received to say, you have been marked out to be part of God's covenant family. And so that child grows up in God's family with this expectation that at some point they're going to take upon themselves those promises that were prayed over them at the beginning. And this becomes what we know as the bar mitzvah for boys or bat mitzvah for girls, when they say, now I'm of the age where I'm committing to taking this upon myself. And so in the first century, even through, you know, the story of Jesus, we see this with John the Baptist, baptism was taken on as a call to repentance, to come back to the family. But before long, it becomes this initiation point for Christians, for the people of Jesus, to say, this is me now making this commitment to participate in a family. It's important to recognize, and I cannot stress this enough, it has almost nothing to do with how well you do on a test called religion. And a lot of times this is what we think when it comes to baptism. I've done the intellectual work, I have answered all the questions correctly, and now I'm choosing into this. And I've always aligned it with marriage. Garrett and Dakota, we've got weeks to go, and we're gonna get you there. And I always say it's like this, you know, if Garrett and Dakota are up there when we're doing the service, and Garrett looks deep into Dakota's beautiful eyes and says, Dakota, I did the work. I scoured your Facebook. I did a deep search on the internet. I know everything about you. I've got it all figured out. And I also know everything about me. So I can guarantee you that our marriage is going to be 100% consequence-free. Like, we're always going to be rich, we're always going to be healthy, and everything's going to work out. We'll get the 2.3 kids, and we'll live in the cul-de-sac on the outskirts of town. You would tell her to run, right? Like, you'd say, you're insane. And this is what it's like when we come to God. In our baptism, whenever that comes in our lives, when we're making that commitment to God, we're not saying, Almighty, creator of the universe, I did the deep search on the internet, I figured everything out about you, I know everything about me, I can finally make that commitment. What we're really saying in baptism is going, I'm not exactly sure who you are, I don't know who I am half the time, but I'm willing to commit a lifetime to find out. And that's what these markers are. The salvation is less this one and done process that we just get it over with and now we have a status that we maintain. But we're making a commitment to God, like we do in marriage, to say, I'm going to keep showing up, trusting that you're going to do the same, that over time, I'm going to learn more about who you are and fall more in love with you. And so over what we see in the early church is that baptism for adults became that initiation into the new family of God as it expanded from specifically a kind of a Jewish phenomenon to incorporate the Gentiles. And then very early on, what we see is that infants become baptized, entire families would be baptized together, and it was this growing of the family. And that pattern we see kind of through the past 2,000 years of Christian history, that there's usually some sort of sacrament at the beginning of life to say, this child is marked out, that we are committing to raise this child into an awareness of the God revealed in Jesus, and we're all making that commitment together. I always say it takes a village to raise an idiot. And at some point in our lives, we have that moment we say, now what was promised to me by my community, I'm going to take upon myself. And so, however you did, how many of you were infant baptized? Pretty decent amount of you, okay? Me too. We're all there together. You know, we had that moment. How many of you later on, maybe you were infant baptized and then you were confirmed? You had kind of a moment of like adult, I'm now stepping in this. Yeah, okay. So that's how this often works. And we can, you know, I mean, there are 44,000 denominations of Christianity for religion. We can't even decide on the color of the carpet, let alone whether we should baptize infants or adults or whatever. But the important thing is that those moments are there where we are being promised something in the way we're going to be raised, and then we're taking that upon ourselves later on. But I think the important thing is to recognize that our faith is not some sort of one-time status that we achieve through intellectual assent, that it's an ongoing journey and a commitment to cultivate that relationship over time. I once remember hearing this older, wiser woman when asked, are you a Christian? She says, well, I'm becoming one. And I love that. It feels like such an affirmation to what this journey feels like to say, in the most strictest sense, all of us, we are becoming Christian day by day. It's not just a piece of clothing that we wear. It's not just a one-time like box that we check off, but it's something that we're constantly becoming over time as we stay faithful to God. And so in that spirit, I'd like to invite up the Fullers, the Mattas, and the Rices. So there's going to be a lot of call and response, and you guys get to participate in this as well. So let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with the joy and care of children. Give us calm strength and patient wisdom as we bring them up, that we may teach them to love whatever is just and true and good, following the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now for the first reading.
Mark 10:13-16 says this. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
And so we begin with a presentation. Hopefully you'll be able to read your responses down there, and we'll read this together. So who presents these children to be dedicated? Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? So the parents will now speak on behalf of their child until such a time as this little one may take upon themselves the commitment of our Lord through holy baptism. And so we begin with three renunciations, what we're being saved from. And you'll see this again in baptism and that unholy trinity of the flesh, the enemy, and the world. And then three things that we take up, what we're being saved into. So firstly, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And now I turn to all of you, because you have a part to play in this as well. Will you do all you can to support this family in their desire to raise these children into the body of Christ? Yeah. Will you stand up for truth, protect these children, encourage and bless them as they grow in this church? Yeah. And now we come to the anointing, where we anoint oil as a symbol similar to water, of being marked out, of being set aside. And so, Eternal Father, whose blessed Son was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be the Savior and servant of all, we pray you consecrate this oil, that those who are sealed with it may share in the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. So now I'm going to take each child and anoint them with oil. So, Bennett, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May this be a seal upon your life from this day forward, that you are chosen and that you are his. She's vastly aware that she's now the center of attention. Bryn, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May this be a seal upon your life from this day forward, that you are chosen and that you are his. Amen. Mariella, dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May this be a seal upon your life from this day forward that you are chosen and that you are his. And now, not only because we love a good liturgy in this church, but we're also charismatic, I'm going to invite anybody who wants to come forward to lay hands upon these families to pray and prophesy over them. Whether you are in close relationship with them or not, I want to invite you to stand and come forward and pray if you guys want to move forward a little bit. Father, we thank you for the gift of these children, these dear ones who remind us that we are called to be childlike as we approach you. That it's about our gentle trust of you, our willingness to be held in your arms, that defines us as your beloved. Lord, I pray that these three may grow up never not knowing your name, being so intimately familiar with you from this day forward, that speaking your name is like breathing to them, that they know the joy of walking day by day with you. Lord, I pray for a supernatural covering over these parents and the extended family that's present, that they would see in the good work they do of raising these children just an iota of the love that you have for us as our Father, that they would understand the relationship they've been invited to have with you because of how they dearly love their children. So bless them and guide them from this day forward. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. And as those families are being seated, I want to invite up the baptismal candidates and their families. There we go. Wonderful. The beauty of making this decision, or maybe more accurately, recognizing that you've been chosen into a life with God at a later age, is that you can actually talk about it. So in order to spare Bella and Sola from having to speak in public, I'm going to invite Diego to come and to share a little bit about the commitment that he feels called to make today.
Hi, church. Well, my journey with God has been quite interesting, to say the least. I luckily grew up in a Christian household, and that has been filled with ups and downs, as you probably all know. But my true revelation with the Lord came a few years ago. I had just finished being in a really difficult relationship that ended. My job also came to an end, and then I also moved back into my parents' home. And seemingly out of nowhere, one day, I was struck with a level of anxiety that is kind of hard to put into words, but to put it lightly, basically, I was afraid, seemingly out of nowhere, to even like leave my house. I was afraid to sleep in my own bed. I was just crying every single day. I had suicidal ideations, just thought to myself that this is how people end their life. I remember once calling the suicide hotline, And I just, you know, told him, I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to get to the point that I'm going to want to end my life. And it was in those moments, I think my mom, my parents remember, I was just clinging on to the Lord. And so I just remember just bending down on my knees every day and just crying to the Lord, like, please help me. Like, what is happening to my life? I was not operating well at all. And it was just a total clash of my life, seemingly out of nowhere. And then the Lord, he's so good. Just, I remember in those moments of just deep desperation, I just remember feeling hope and light and his warmth and almost like an invitation, like out of nowhere. I just remember feeling like, Lord, like, I'm crying on the floor. This is the worst thing. I'm afraid to leave my house. I'm afraid to go to work. I can't do it, literally anything. But Lord, I feel loved by you. And that to me was like a pretty big revelation. And that's when I knew that the Lord was calling me and inviting me into his arms once again. And my relationship with the Lord after that started to grow. And I became closer and closer to him. And I joined a Bible study group and learned more about my faith through them. And then, of course, a few years later, I met Taylor, and I met all of you guys. And the biggest impact for me was also just learning about my belovedness, which is something that I think I was missing for a while. I am just so happy to be here, and I can't believe it that I'm standing here, but truly, I tell you, like, I witnessed a miracle, and it happened in my life, thanks to the Lord.
And now we'll hear our baptismal reading. There you are.
This is from 1 Peter 3:13 to 22. Who is going to harm you? I'm sorry. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for everyone, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
And so in similar fashion to the promises that the families have spoken for on behalf of those children, so now these baptismal candidates, they're taking upon themselves those pronunciations. The three renunciations of the unholy Trinity and three things that they're taking up. And also you guys have that role to play in saying, we're going to continue to rally around you to support you in your journey. So let's pray together. There is one body and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so to the candidates, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And now I want to invite those candidates to move forward, and anybody can come down and lay hands and pray and prophesy over them as we kind of secure this commitment that they're making to Jesus. Grant, Almighty God, that we who have been redeemed from the old life of sin by our baptism into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, may be renewed in your Holy Spirit and live in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to invite everyone to return to their seats, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. So in the Christian household, we recognize at least two sacraments. The word sacrament just means a sacred act. And these are actions that we participate in that go beyond words, that we're not just making affirmations and checking boxes, but to say there's something about when we step out in faith to participate that we believe God responds to that and God does something in us and through us. That's when oil becomes more than just oil, when water becomes more than just water, and when the bread and the cup become more than just the bread and the cup. That's what makes these sacraments. And so together we all come to the Lord's table in this act of faith, believing there's something that happens in that moment. It's not some kind of, you know, cosmic physics equation. It's not a magic trick, but something happens when we put action to the things that we claim to believe. And so where we each have that one Lord, that in one invitation to baptism, so weekly, monthly, consistently throughout our lives as Christians, we have that invitation to his table. And in a way, it's all of us recommitting ourselves to the story of Jesus. It's all of us recommitting to renounce that unholy trinity of the flesh, the enemy, and the world, and to take upon ourselves once again that commitment to Jesus and to live in his name. So I want to invite you to stand. And those whom I've asked to offer Holy Communion, I would invite them to get into place. And we're going to pray this together as we pray that we're recalling our own commitments in baptism and allowing the Spirit to work in us anew. So the Lord be with you.
Awesome.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, for all your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. On the night before he died, he came to the table with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. Lord, bread of life.
At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Father, send your Holy Spirit on us now. May this bread and this wine be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. So this is an open table. We invite all of you as an act of faith to come forward to receive the gift of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. We'll begin in the first rows and move our way back, but come, take, and eat. I hope you feel that. Like, that's what it feels like to be in a sacred space. I've been thinking about a lot recently how sometimes we have this theology where, like, the miracles that God offers have to be outside of the normal, supposedly mundane moments of life. And those miracles do come. We're thankful for those things, and we continue to believe that God works in ways that don't make sense according to the natural world. But I'm more interested, or at least as interested now in my old age, I'll be 40 in a couple months, to recognize the way that God works by turning seemingly mundane things into something sacred. So when a bunch of people show up in a room in a science center, something happens that it becomes more than just a bunch of people in a room at a science center. When we take these precious babies and we anoint them with oil, and then we gather around and we lay hands and pray and we make a promise to them to say, we're going to see this thing through alongside of you. Something is happening there, something more than what is on the surface. When two sweet young girls in our community and one amazing young man stand up to say, I'm making this commitment to Jesus. And as we're going to do here in a moment, to shift to baptizing them where they go beneath the surface of the water and come up as new creation, we believe by faith something is happening more than what is apparent. And that's the places we're learning to have eyes that see God in every moment, that we see the face of Jesus in everyone we encounter, as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, literally converts the way that we move through the world. That's what makes this sacred. And this becomes more than just a bunch of people in an auditorium. This becomes the body of Christ incarnate in the world, through whom Christ works to save the world, to bring it back into relationship with God.
This has been the City Beautiful Church podcast. To stay connected, follow us on social everywhere at City Beautiful CH. We hope you join us again soon.